Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating Pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies, so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 74, Episode 1 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, yeah. The podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Monday, March 18th, 2019. My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Salt Potatoes O'Brien. Ooh. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Hey, what is Zeit Gang at? Miles is on the way, Gray and all of that. Mueller and Trump is taking all of that. And no, I can't forget about my drugs with a Zeit Gang out at Taco Bell.
Anyway, I can't forget about my drugs and at Taco Bell, no less. Oh, there was more. Where the Zeit Gang in the footnotes? Where the Zeit Gang at? If the Zeit Gang's where you're at, let me hear your grave. Anyway, so thank you to Duncan Zeitmeyer at Piping Hot AKAs. Yo, honestly, shout out to people who are just coming onto Twitter for the sole purpose of submitting AKAs. Wow. You are more committed than my mother was to me.
Shout out to at Taylor T. Fleming. Sorry to shout you out after Miles. It was amazing, AKA.
And no, that was good, too.
Yeah. No, mine was good. It was a reference back to Syracuse, which created the salt potatoes.
And we cleared up the...
Buffalo.
We cleared up the Don Beebe thing, okay? And we saw plenty of you were getting upset about the Drake's field. Cakes, the pie thing. He was talking about these pies.
Right.
When he said cake... He said cake. Okay?
He said cake.
And look, that's my West Coast bias. I didn't have the brand Drake's, so I didn't know about it. Okay?
Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the very funny comedian, improviser, performer, Mr. Brandon Johnson.
The first time that I did the zeitgeist, the motherfucker stared straight into my eyes. And here I am the one.
In a suit, too.
In a suit.
Wait till you guys see this photo.
Wow.
I'm just going to just abstain from even being pictured next to Brandon. Yeah. He looks so slick.
I'll tell you right now, it's a Goodwill on every corner.
Ooh, wee. Even those accessories?
Even accessories,
that
man.
Tie bar, too?
Bro, I made them shits. I'm telling y'all right now, if y'all need to buy a suit, a cat, or a dog, come to me for these pets and these clothes. And I got you, man. I'm trying to sell these moving vans, and some of these moving vans are full, y'all. Come on and give me a call. You know the number. You know how to find me. And if you don't know how to find me, now tell the police.
Ooh.
Well, Brandon, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in all a moment. Right. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of things we're talking about today.
Okay.
James Gunn is back on Guardians 3.
Yeah.
Shout
out St. Louis, James Gunn.
Oh, is he from the 314?
He's from the 314.
Okay. We're going to be talking about Jexodus, which is a
movement of Jah people.
Jah people.
Or Jew people.
Right. It is supposedly the Jewish people's exodus from the Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. We're going to look at the figurehead of that movement. We're going to talk about the attacks in New Zealand and generally just how we treat white terrorists and extreme white supremacy in general. We're going to talk about Trump just openly courting violence. We're going to talk about the civil war that is coming. We're going to check in with Mike Pence and his appearance, his co-headline with the Ireland Prime Minister, and just never, ever there being somebody who looked that uncomfortable. And we will check in with the GoFundMe homeless scam. But first, Brandon, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Oh, man. Let's see. Jeez, Louise. I did not do my homework on this one. I was already...
Because you know everything.
That's right. But I'm a big fan of buttons and zippers.
Okay.
Yeah. I looked up rare ways of fastening clothing because the act of fastening clothing became a really big deal.
What mm-hmm. is fastening clothing?
You know, this sounds crazy, but before you have buttons and bones and stones and zippers and clothing captures, your shit would just flail open. People would know that you had a sword. People could just freeze to death. They could just see your balls. But buttons changed the world.
Wow. Old fasteners would have just been like a pin. Literally just whatever's fastening clothing. Right.
Okay. You might use a shard of your enemy's skull.
Oh, shit.
A string.
The ultimate brooch and flex.
Yeah. Yours is cooler, though, definitely, than mine.
So
a string.
Are you making clothing?
You know, I used to make pocket squares out of dress shirts because they will always match your outfit because they're dress shirts.
Oh.
And if you cut the little tip, the back of a dress shirt is big enough to take and cut and then make into a pocket square. So for a while I was doing that. And that's a really crazy stitch. It's a nightmare. It's hard to do if you shake.
Oh, that makes sense. Because all the time I was like, why you got that big square missing in your back?
Yeah.
Right. I call these ventilation pieces.
Yeah, you're like, well, if you wear a jacket, you don't know.
What you do is you run into a hospital and you're like, oh, God! Oh, God! He almost got my back!
Perfect square.
What, have they come up with anything better than the zipper or the button?
I mean, Velcro is a huge, again, Velcro is like a...
Gets a dude bad that rap.
He comes out of his cocaine haze and walks down his Miami backyard roadway to get to his yacht and goes, I invented Velcro.
Yeah, that's right. His road to his yacht is paved in cocaine. All right. What is what's something that you think is underrated?
White exceptionalism. Let's be real honest. They're just not getting the credit that they deserve. You know, I think some of these scandals that we've seen this week with the ability to not just test into a university, but also then scam your way in is incredible. And these people are not being given enough credit. I mean, you said you were down. Like when your mom, like you forgot your lunch and your mom brought McDonald's and she was like, I'm sorry, baby. I brought McDonald's because I forgot your lunch money this morning. You were like, it's a win-win for me.
Right.
That ain't got shit on what these parents just did. I'm looking at my mom like, strawberries? You brought me a bushel of strawberries because you didn't give me lunch money? This woman paid $500,000.
To have someone else take the test.
Yeah.
And also to gaslight their own kids and be like, no, you smart, baby. You went from a 600s to a 1510 on your SATs.
That is incredible. I'm serious. That is some gangster shit. And you know that's why they got the mamas, because who loves you like that?
Right.
Who loves you enough to bribe somebody at a school? Your mama?
They
pulled a Forrest Gump in this shit.
Yeah.
I saw those memes pop up real quick. They're like, I remember when people used to get in school the old-fashioned way. Sally Field from Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
But this would be like if Forrest Gump's mom tricked him into thinking he was smart.
Right, that was
the thing about Forrest Gump is he was aware like the full time that he wasn't like as quick as other people.
I hate to break this to you, but all parents are lying to you about your intelligence.
Yeah. And specialness. And
not if you're Asian.
Y'all motherfuckers is gifted.
My mom was like...
They're lying in the opposite direction.
I remember when we first started doing multiplication tables, like in third or second grade or something, I was one of the fastest ones. She was like, well, who was the fastest? And I said, so-and-so. And she's like, okay.
Why are they faster?
No, it was just okay. And to this day, I remember how nuanced that was. I was like, okay. Right. I must destroy Michelle in the times tables. And you should have seen me look like a fucking calculator on meth the way I used to do those things. And then I think that's why I have a chip on my shoulder.
Yeah.
Because now I'm like, oh, they never told me shit.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, guys, to bring that in there. Were you encouraged as a child, Jack? Academically? You seem smart enough that you didn't.
I did okay in school. I did well enough that they didn't really need to tell me shit.
Oh, look at this motherfucker talking like he invented the Knight Rider. This motherfucker, and then low key bragged, was just like, right. Man, I'm up there getting amazed. Don't know what's going on, man.
No, but like, it's always, anytime you listen to, it was mostly like self-applied pressure. Like I was just I was constantly in the midst of a panic attack over my grades. So anytime like a cool creative person is on a podcast or on TV being like, yeah, I didn't really do school. So then like, I just came out here and I'm like the opposite of that.
Right.
I did the shit out of school.
I needed someone to be like, oh, really? To help me go along. Otherwise, I think I would have cruised.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Because teachers do gas you up. They're always like, oh, that was great. And I think that's where maybe my parents were trying to balance me out, because I would come home acting like I was Encyclopedia Brown or something.
Right.
I'm pretty smart for a black kid, is what I would tell my parents as they laughed. I'm the smartest black kid in my class. So, and they were like, unimpressive, Johnson. Unimpressive. I had to drop out, man. So, yeah. I didn't really hear a lot of praise.
You think if you were praised more, you would have stuck with school?
For sure, man. You come to a shitty job if your boss tells you you sweeps the floor great.
Where'd you grow up, Brandon?
A little town called University City, which is right next to St. Louis.
Oh, okay.
Might have heard of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you might have heard of
Nelly.
Yeah.
U City.
We finna come to U City dirty. Uh-huh. If you go there, that's how we all talk.
in sing song?
Trying to get some cornbread. Maybe I'll go and buy a brand new bed.
That's just conversation.
Yeah.
Put a taco on it, buddy.
What is something you think is overrated?
Eyewitness accounts.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know.
You're coming.
You've been hearing a lot of stuff.
Wait, did you come from court in that suit? Talk about eyewitness accounts, man.
Legal representation.
You're all like, yeah, I'd have meeting at this network.
Right. Plea bargaining. That shit is overrated.
Wait, what do you mean eyewitness accounts?
I mean, you know, we all have had, without saying too many names, a documentary that came out recently where we all are now sure of a person's guilt, despite the fact that there was a 10-year investigation. I'll let you put these pieces together on your own. Okay. And I want to say it was a secret investigation. The FBI secretly investigated this person for 10 years. But based on these eyewitness accounts and HBO, we are now all sure of what happened.
Mm.
Which is crazy, because it makes you have to ask yourself, am I smarter than the FBI and the Santa Barbara County Sheriff and LAPD and the California Children's Welfare Office that did multiple checks on this person? So that I think is a little, I think we all need to look at that situation in a larger perspective, maybe without a $1.5 billion lawsuit attached to it.
Interesting. So do you believe, I mean, look, I'm going to be real with you. I know you're talking about Michael Jackson.
What? No, I was talking about Cher. Cher has a puppy ring. Cher has a puppy ring. You guys didn't know about this?
No.
We've heard from the dogs. We've actually heard from the dogs. There were Michael Vick situations that Cher was a part of.
Oh, I missed this.
That makes sense.
Well.
But you could tell just looking at Cher.
Yeah. I mean, I believe the dogs. No, I mean, look, I got to tell you, though.
It's touchy. I don't want to bring it back up. I don't want to bring it.
Hey, but you did. And we have to talk about it.
I was thinly veiled.
It was non-existent.
I mean, look,
veil.
I think, yo, look, he bought that kid a wedding ring.
Yeah.
And they got married. When I see that, I don't know how, as much of a fan as I am, that was the part I was like, I don't know who you get married to, like, as a homie.
Well, let me ask you this question, because I'm with you, and mm-hmm. I hear you, and I saw it. When has the FBI or the United States court system ever let a black man go?
Well,
now, the most valuable thing in American society is a white male child.
Sure.
Let me get this straight. A black man in America was having sex with white male children, and the Federal Bureau of Investigations, after 10 years and 300 pages, decided we can't touch this dude because we don't want to put a hole in the glove market.
Sure. I mean, I think a part of me, too, is like Mike is not treated like other black people are. You know what I mean? And
what black person is not treated like other black people are? What famous black person has not been cuffed?
I mean, O.J. Simpson got away with that shit.
Hey, man, but then I'm going to say the same shit, which is these are your laws. This is your court system. Mm. This is some shit that you put together. Your court system and your laws couldn't convict.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, well, yeah. And I'm going to say this. Even on the O.J. shit, the reason that they really didn't stand a leg up was that they went in dirty.
Yeah,
they
went
in and announced.
Mark Furman did not help at
all. It wasn't
all.
Just Furman. It was that they walked through the blood. They said they got him before they got him. They didn't do the job they're supposed to do. In both of these cases, you got a group of people that nobody gives a shit about. Children and black men. Mm-hmm. So you know you ain't never going to get the truth. Mm. Had that been a white dude and it was black children, we would have never heard about this
right.
shit.
Mm-hmm. I think that's definitely true.
Before we can even say what is going on, we at least need to address the two groups of people who are disenfranchised. Or you're never going to get justice.
Right.
So in this situation, I'm like, you done fucked up so much as a society that I can't even protect kids and get a real story or figure out what the fuck is going on. That's the larger picture. Is not, is Michael Jackson guilty or is Michael Jackson innocent? The situation is, damn, if he was guilty, people were complicit. If he's not guilty, people were complicit.
Right, right, right.
Yeah. If he's not guilty, we just fucked up and mm-hmm. blew a deal that we got. We got this gift and we blew it because he landed on the planet, obviously otherworldly type shit like Jordan, and he does amazing things, and then we don't know how to embrace that and hold it dear. We accuse him of being a monster. Or this person comes, and because we don't give a shit about children, he is allowed to do whatever the fuck he wants to do.
Right. Right.
So it's a lose-lose until we address each of those situations. It's not the injustice of the situation.
So to be clear, your take isn't that Michael Jackson was just smeared by this documentary. You're saying that the situation, no matter which way you cut it, is an indictment on society, no matter how you look at it.
Ain't that to me, that's the bigger issue. I don't know that documentary is the thing that's going to make me think he's guilty.
Mm-hmm. Right. No, that's why I wanted to give you the opportunity to actually say that it wasn't more so of like, it's about Michael Jackson, more of like, look at how we're litigating this.
Yes.
Right. And it's a documentary versus the FBI, who has a terrible track record with black people, especially black people who are making a difference.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, trying to say, well, who the fuck? Like, where am I?
Right.
And what is going on? And yeah, that's why I brought up the
appreciate it.
The wedding thing was fucked up, man. That's where I was just like,
The whole thing was fucked up.
I don't know.
The whole thing was fucked up.
Yeah. And I think the point about litigating it via documentary, like documentaries are just not a good way of uncovering the truth in any respect. They're notoriously full of shit.
Right.
Even really good ones.
And I think that's why that documentary should be looked at as sort of, it is, let's look at it as a tale of these people describing their experience, and rather than this is the hammer that, you know, put in the nail in the coffin or something.
Yeah, because you motherfuckers didn't donate no money. It isn't like the awareness was raised.
Right.
That's my major issue.
Hmm.
What is a myth? What's something people think is true, you know?
This Michael Jackson shit. No, I'm kidding.
that he exists. Oh, he was made to make you think that there was a man with this kind of agency in town.
That there, what's a myth? That there's room in the Democratic Party for one more person to run.
I think we got them all out, right? Oh, no, Biden still has
Biden's just biding his time.
We'll
see what the fuck
about
he does.
To be. I love that everybody's like, it's up for grabs.
Right.
It's up for grabs.
I know.
It's not up for grabs. We know where we want to go.
Right.
Don't fuck around. Don't add no more people to this arc.
And the argument I keep hearing is people saying, yeah, but this is how the system is supposed to work. This is how every primary ever has worked. But there's never been this many people. Has there? Like
13?
This many? 13? I guess maybe the Republican nomination, and look where that fucking got us. 2016 nomination? I don't know, man. It's a lot. It's getting crowded.
It's crowded out there.
Yeah.
It's super crowded.
Yeah.
I think there's room in the sense that I feel like to even get to the point to run for president just used to be like impossible for people of a certain ideology. So it's interesting to see more people with more varied ideologies to a certain extent on the left enter. But yeah, I mean, it's congested as fuck.
It's great. I know it's early.
Yeah.
You know, but we only, you know, Democrats, we only got so much money. So y'all going to need to, you can either order 15-piece wings or you can order the fish dinner. We don't have a lot of money. You can't have time for a big menu. Every time you look at bar rescues, because they got too many drinks. That's why they're going out of business. Maybe we could just get it down to a few drinks, some poppers.
So get John Taffer in there to fucking replace Tom Perez in the DNC.
These voting ballots are dirty. These are filthy.
There's a lot of money going to be spent on people who don't do anything in the primary.
Yeah.
Like a lot of Democratic donors are going to be wasting a lot of money in the run-up to this election, I'm guessing.
Yeah, well, you know.
Unless they all win.
So those are my incredibly...
Yeah, we have a Voltron of a presidential candidate made up of 13 Democrats.
There you go.
14 or whatever it's at right now.
That's my... those are my lighthearted answers.
Yeah, I like it, man. I like it. Let's talk about James Gunn, speaking of lighthearted. The director of Guardians of the Galaxy was fired from Guardians of the Galaxy 3 due to some allegations...
Old tweets,
basically.
That they were like, oh, he made a child sex joke. They were terribly bad jokes,
right.
Dumb shit, not defensible by any means.
From a writing perspective. And also from a sensibility.
Yeah, sensibility. But and that opened him up to right-wing trolls weaponizing those words, completely like recontextualizing and being like, oh, it sounds like he supports child abuse.
Right.
And the outrage machine was in full force. Just, you know, coming at Disney. They finally caved to the pressure, fired James Gunn. And then, look what happened. I mean, I think the cast, everyone involved was like, this is the worst decision ever.
Right.
Like, this guy did, like, okay, those are bad jokes. We can talk about that.
Right.
But you don't have to, you know, cancel this man from this project.
Right.
So it's interesting now that I don't know that either Disney realized that they fell victim to like the right wing troll machine or that they were scared James Gunn was going to make the new Suicide Squad movie watchable or whatever. But, you know, but he's still going to do the new Suicide Squad, but then he'll be back to do Guardians 3, which was his script anyway.
Right. So there's a sequel to the Suicide Squad, the first Suicide Squad movie.
Yeah.
This is a sequel. Okay.
Yeah. He's going to be like, as soon as he was off Guardians, they're like, hey, you want to help us with our ragtag group?
That was just their way of hiring him for Suicide Squad. They're like, now you're one of us.
Hey, so
you're part of the Suicide Squad.
Come through.
Yeah.
I don't really know anything about him personally. I thought the Guardians films were fine. So it's good to see that they kind of came out of their sleep. I don't know. Whatever Disney did, they woke the fuck up and were like, fine. What was the point of that?
I mean, it's interesting this is happening the same week that Tucker Carlson is getting dragged for some shit that he said between 2006 and 2011.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, equally, he's claiming they were just jokes, that he was just joking. But it's just so hard to tell with conservatives because their sense of humor is so bad that, like, it's just, that doesn't sound like he's joking.
Right.
Like, on the air with Bubba the Love Sponge.
Yeah.
It sounded like he was like, serious.
Oh, yeah, two teen girls exploring their sexuality in a boarding school is hot if it wasn't my 14-year-old daughter we were joking about.
Right.
Like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, don't punch down.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't punch down.
Well, and I think Bubba the Love Sponge is now like suing all his like former co-hosts for something, like the show ending. I don't know. Look, that world is a mess.
Yeah, I hear that Bubba the Love Sponge is broke now, right? And is he the same dude that got in trouble with
Hulk Hogan?
Yep. Yeah,
taping his wife with him?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
It's just like, Bubba. I want to see it.
Yeah, that was his whole thing, was watching. We talked about it. Which celebrity would you want to be cucked by?
Hulk Hogan? Great question.
That is a great
question. We like to open our show with a question. I mean, not
the
search
Rock?
History. Let's replace, you know, this was a hot, overrated, underrated
the Rock,
this episode.
But I would want him to be like in his 60s. So it was like real sad, you know?
Oh, like, just like saggy muscles?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like latter day Arnold body?
Right. Latter day Arnold.
That is hilarious.
Anyways, what's your answer?
Man, I can't touch that.
Wow,
I wasn't even
pass on that one.
Yeah, my couple wasn't heterosexual, so right. I got to pass on that.
Okay.
But I'll let you think about it.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
We are going to take a quick break to think about that. We will be right back.
Zeit Gang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it, you know, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com, and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, I had a bustling retail business, and I need, some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate, whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier. Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at Shopify.com/TDZ, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ. You like to watch new stuff, right, Zeit Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
And we're back, and we're going to talk about Jexodus.
Jexodus! Movement of Jew people! Yeah, that's all I can think of every time I read that, is Jexodus.
So,
what is Jexodus?
What is Jexodus? Well, this is from the Jexodus.com. We are proud Jewish millennials tired of living in bondage to leftist politics. We reject the hypocrisy, anti-Americanism, and anti-Semitism of the rising far left. Progressive Democrats and far too many old school Jewish organizations take our support for granted. After all, we're Jewish and Jews vote for Democrats until today. I have to get to this next sentence. We are determined and we are unafraid to speak for ourselves as combatants and veterans of the campus wars. We know the threat progressivism poses to Jews. As combatants and veterans of the campus wars.
That's so, a new one.
Yeah. I also like that somebody is afraid of progressives.
Yeah. No, that is...
Well, but that's the point of this whole organization, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's to tie progress to anti-Semitism and say like, well, actually, progress is actually anti-Semitic.
Anti-Semitic, yes.
Wow.
And I mean, Campus Wars is a new one on this podcast, but it is... has been a big story. Like, it has been covered as if it were the Vietnam War on conservative media outlets.
Look out for that new merch we're going to put out this week. Campus War Veteran.
Right.
You can wear that. You can rock that shit. I'm making that. Sorry. I already got the T Public people working on it.
And veteran.
Of the dude, Campus War Veteran. I mean, look, this is, you know, the Republicans love to do this shit.
Right.
Whenever there's a way to try and be like, hey, voting bloc that is solidly Democratic. Are you sure you want to do that? Remember Candace Owens and Blexit?
Oh, right. God.
And she's like, remember Kanye? He designed all the merch. And he was like, yeah. This is even a bridge too far for me somehow.
Right.
and that was the thing. There was Blexit. There's this now, Jexodus. And it's also kind of when, you know, talking last week
Diamond
about the
Diamond and Silk.
Yeah, right. Talking about like Donald Trump's love of AstroTurf groups to sort of fuel this outrage thing to be like, oh, you see what's going on there?
Yes.
Bon Jovi's going to take them to Toronto because of these guys I paid to say that.
Right.
You know, and now it's all the Ilhan Omar shit has them being like, oh, here's our moment.
Yes.
Let's try and drive a wedge between the Jewish voters and the Democratic Party. And my goodness, do they really think that they look at someone who is so out here with his anti-Semitism as like Donald Trump and his xenophobia that they're like, yeah, 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 that's the safe path.
Right.
They look at his son. Yeah. They're going to pull the old son-in-law and say, well, he's got Jewish grandkids, which is the craziest thing.
Right.
Right.
To hear somebody in the Trump camp be like, well, he's got Jewish grandkids.
Yeah.
Right.
If you don't think he has said some horrifying shit about his daughter marrying a Jewish man in his country club locker room moments, you're losing it.
Also, you are no longer anti-Semitic at about $500 million. And that kid's got $1 billion.
Right.
So I'm sure that Trump was like, I don't like Jew. What? He got how much?
Right.
Oh, okay. Well,
same, yeah, right. Exactly. Like, he likes black people if they have money.
Right.
Right. Yeah,
I guess we eating locks is what he thought.
So they have a spokesperson by the name of, what is it?
Elizabeth Pipko.
Elizabeth Pipko.
She don't even sound Jewish.
Well, she is. Oh, hold on to your butts. She is a figure skating model who went to Harvard.
What?
Extension school.
She doesn't add that part when she's talking to the media.
All her bios say she went to Harvard. Oh, I'm at Harvard. She gave, okay, so just again, because I'm not saying this is AstroTurf, this could very well be, although it's behind the same guy who said Ilhan Omar's comments were filth or that she was filth is the person behind this. So I'm going to go ahead and say this is not real. Oh boy, hot take. But she gave an interview to, this is an outlet called Headlines and Global News. Yeah, it sounds legit.
No, she's been like a person who gets articles written about them in little like small publications for a while now.
Like self-submitting. Yeah. Like, if you'd like to do a profile on me, I'm a figure skating
model Trump supporter. Right.
So
her story used to be that she was scared of being a Trump supporter and a model because all the other models think that Trump is evil.
Right. And it's basically someone who is just deeply conservative and doesn't interact with many liberal people, what they feel is how the liberal culture works.
Right.
Where like models are like, look at her MAGA hat.
That's right.
And when really they'll probably just dump a drink on you. But anyway, let's be real. So in this thing, Headlines and Global News, they write, as if figure skating and modeling wasn't hard enough, she's currently enrolled in one of the most prestigious and difficult schools in the country, Harvard. Then they go on, blah, blah, blah. She majors in religious studies and is double minoring in math and legal studies. And then she goes on to say this, quote, I don't sleep, that's for sure. She joked when asked how she manages to study all three subjects. It's really hard. But again, even that helps me because of the confidence you gain. Everything you gain is knowledge that you can't get anywhere else. Without that, I definitely wouldn't be the person I am. And I don't think I'd want to be growing up in this world and not learning while I'm doing all these other things. That is the most vague shit I've ever heard in my life.
Yes, 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 yes.
Everything you gain is knowledge that you can't get anywhere else. What?
So Jezebel went and looked at her LinkedIn profile.
Oh, no.
There, and only there, does she admit that she goes to Harvard Extension School, which what is an Harvard Extension School? That's just you can sign up for the class?
Yeah, they're just open classes that are for anyone. There's no application process.
It's a great service.
Yeah,
there's nothing wrong with
great
going
for
there.
Public education.
Of course.
You can take classes in heating, cooling, air conditioning, dental assisting.
Well, they used like the other ones.
Data entry.
Childcare.
Have you ever wanted to be an accountant's accounts assistant? Well, then you can come here to Harvard Extension.
You want to turn those doodles into money?
Right. Do you want to be a professor at DeVry?
Right.
But no, I mean, again, not to shade Extension School because, it is a good option because you can go at night or whatever. The issue here is to try and present yourself as someone who went to the Harvard University.
The Harvard University.
That little school in Cambridge.
Right.
You know, to try and up your cred so people take you seriously. But again, look, Elizabeth Pipko, do your thing. I'm really surprised at all the press she got.
Do you have any idea how much money your parents have to pay some dude who rose crew to tell them that you're on the crew team to get into Harvard? Come on, Elizabeth.
Yeah, right.
Try harder.
All she had to do was drop off a box of donuts to get into the extension.
Right, exactly.
Oh, man, she just had to apply.
Right.
That's all. But yeah, again, this is like the whole thing. They go on. She said she was married at Mar-a-Lago. She was married at Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah,
she's
hyper
Trump. Trumped out. She said there were MAGA hats at the wedding, and she was like, look, I lost a lot of friends because I support Trump, and the ones that are left, well, they're here to stay.
Right, exactly.
And, you know, again, not even that I have any problem with her because, look, every astroturfing group needs a face. But come on, the Jexodus, stop trying to make this is not real. It's just when you look at how solidly Jewish voters are for Democrats. There's nothing to indicate that these comments, because they're just trying to jump on this incident with Ilhan Omar to be like, oh, you see what they're doing? You see what they stand for? You see where they're going?
This seems to be as much about Islamophobia as anything. It doesn't actually have much to do with anti-Semitism as it does just,
Green bill.
Yeah.
Stop with this bullshit.
Green New Deal.
Stop with the Green New Deal. Stop with the anti-Semitism. Let's all get back to where we are, what we need to do. We all know that they defunded Planned Parenthood.
Right.
We know the real attacks are coming. We know that there's gerrymandering. We know that there's more things going on. And this goes for Democrats too, man. Get your mind together.
Yeah.
And stop fucking around with these headlines and get back to what we were supposed to do. And this party was supposed to be getting free health care. It was supposed to be getting equal pay. It was supposed to be getting access to health care for women. Those were the three places that we were headed before we lost the election.
Right.
If you want to fuck around and talk about the environment, fuck around and talk about this bullshit, go back and forth, and we're going to get reparations, which is the most pandering shit that every politician does. Every time a politician runs, the first thing they start off with is, here's what I'm going to do for black people. Because if you can judge a person by what they're going to do for the most downtrodden person, then you feel like you have a better chance when they're going to be in office. Fuck your reparations. We know you're not doing it. You ain't done it for 400 years. You can scratch environment, reparations, and all that other bullshit off the list, and you get your ass back to equal pay, a funded Planned Parenthood, and free child care. Because what she was trying to do and what the Democrats were trying to do was lift women out of poverty.
Right.
We're trying to give VA benefits because we know of an older population trying to shore up Social Security. The rest of this bullshit is just bullshit. If you come up with one more topic as a Democratic Party to talk about that looks like you're trying to save the world, then somebody's going to have to call you out and say straight up, I know you're not. Right. I know you're not trying to say.
Yeah, I mean,
let's get back to where we were supposed to go.
The Green New Deal is a good talking point because at the very least it's centered climate change around, it's created some kind of political debate. I don't know fundamentally what can happen because—
You can't pass it.
Well, and also, there's real infrastructural problems with our electrical grid, which, I mean, renewables don't mean shit if we're not actually reinvesting in the infrastructure, the grid itself. How are you going to transmit all that energy?
Right.
And again, look, that's the part, that's why it's just sort of it's a roadmap.
They need to get back to the real shit.
But you don't think climate change is a real issue?
I do think it's a real issue, but I do think that people have been thinking about it for 30 or 40 years, and that drafting a resolution that you know is going to get smashed out versus working with Pelosi's existing bill, actual bill, and Feinstein's actual bill is a crazy move.
Right. Well, I guess I think people look at those bills as being just really non-bills in the sense that they're not really giving substantive change. It's like a thing where to get the buy-in of, petroleum companies and environmentalists is something so in the middle that you might as well just not even talk about it either. You know, on one hand, you do have people who are well-intentioned, who do understand the stakes that are involved in climate change. And then you have another class of politician who's just They're like, I want to be the most poppin' person from Nebraska. You know what I mean? And I'm going to stay. I'll take whatever dollars I have to and shill for whoever I have to keep my campaign funds, my coffers filled, and I can get through the next election and I can still be the most poppin' person in Southeast Nebraska or whatever it is. But, you know, I think it just underlines how hard this shit is, because that's why, and that's where AOC's motivation comes in for that hit list, because she's from this different class of politician who's like, I'm here to just talk truth, right, and I don't give a fuck. And look what happens. Like, she's in the crosshairs, just like Ilhan Omar is and Rashida Tlaib are. But that's what sort of got them. It's this frustration of like, why is anyone actually speaking in a way that is signaling to the voters that this is an issue? Because it, to me, and most people who aren't as politically savvy like me, like, they haven't seen enough to say like, oh, wow, this is something we're trying to do. Because the loudest people are the ones being like, hey, man, it's real cold. Could use some of that global warming right now.
Right. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, this conversation started at Jexodus, which I was just realizing they're adding Jewish to Exodus, but Exodus is a story about Jewish people in the first place. That's where it comes from.
Yeah.
Why do you don't need to portmanteau that shit, guys.
Right.
The original
it's just
story.
Like,
is.
Now it's like, yeah, they could have called it like Exodus 2.
Right. Exactly.
Electric Boogaloo.
I do think that whole movement is as much about Islamophobia as it's about anything, right? The fact that they can get everybody up in arms because Ilhan Omar, you know, wears a
hijab,
a hijab, and, you know, is a woman who is Muslim and African, and that, like, you know, freaks people out, and it also causes, like, people on the right to realize that they can get people worked up about this shit.
Right, because we've completely normalized Islamophobia
in
this country since 9/11.
And I mean, I think we saw a very real consequence of Islamophobia at the end of last week in New Zealand with the white supremacist terror attacks that killed 49 people as of this recording. And it's just this double standard that, you know, we talked about it when it comes to anti-Semitism. There's a double standard of, you know, between how somebody is allowed to talk about Jewish people if they're on the right versus on the left. And we just have this blind spot for people on the right being openly anti-Semitic. And I think that's true of terrorism as well.
Yeah, I mean, that attack that happened kind of shows you, that white privilege can also extend into terrorism.
And
we talk about this all the time. There are, you know, far-right extremists who are putting bombs that just thankfully didn't go off in airports, but when the suspect is white, we're like, nobody's talking about it. Like, this is like local news.
Yeah.
But again, something happens in any other situation where it isn't a white man or, you know, someone who doesn't fit the mold of what the media has conditioned people to think what a terrorist is, it's sort of like thrown, you know, in the back.
Right.
And this is one of those things, right? When you look at the rise of right extremist terrorism and, like, you know, traditional extremist Islamic terrorism, the tactics are so similar, right? We're using the word terrorism, but we're not treating it like terrorism.
Yeah, they're not being treated the same at all.
It's just like, oh, it's you know, even Trump was like, it's just a very small group. Nothing's, you know, it's who knows right. What's going on. It's probably just some guys. But let me tell you something, right? They have the exact same, they operate in the exact same way. They are using you know, people's deaths to inspire other people to join. They are targeting people who are disenfranchised or frustrated white men who are trying to find some kind of power again. They are, and in the case of like ISIS, they are looking for people who are disenfranchised, displaced by war, or point to drone attacks to say like, there is your enemy, it's the West. Now, how do I radicalize you around this idea? They congregate and are radicalized on the internet. It's just all these things have the same patterns of like how terrorist groups work. And yet we're not putting the resources to actually fight it. Because why? Because it's a politically hot issue, or people think it's like, oh, I don't want to touch that.
Right.
You know, and like one of the first people at DHS who worked in the Obama administration raised this alarm in 2009 that basically was saying that DHS is too focused on Islamic terrorism and immigration and not putting enough energy into the rising tide of far-right extremism. And Obama suppressed that shit and was like, hey, I can.
right. It's going to get too hot.
He reported on it, whether it was that or a very similar report, he like gave a speech about it, and then the backlash that came from the right wing was deafening and insane and completely out of proportion. And, you know, the Obama administration did the, you know, savvy PR move and just, you know,
put him in a tan suit.
Switch it up.
You're not going to be a black person talking about how crazy white people are to other white people.
Right.
They're not going to have that.
To you. Is the sort of the attitude.
Yeah.
And then that turned into the they're going to come take our guns thing.
Yes.
And that's what they used it for. It's like, you see, this is what he's really talking about. It's not the fact that these people are coming up, shooting up places of worship or people of color or things like that. It's they're going to take the guns.
They're going to take our guns thing started the day that he got elected.
Yeah.
I mean, I was
at a shooting range the weekend after the election, and I've never seen it more packed.
With families.
Yeah, yes. With families, for real.
Yeah.
They were like, is this a KFC?
Right, but it's sort of, what's interesting too is that this shooter, you know, one of the, like, I think there were four suspects that were arrested, but one of the main suspects was saying in this manifesto he wrote that he hoped that this would actually inspire the United States to enact stricter gun rules to try and begin disarming citizens, which would lead to a civil war here.
There's usually the Dylan Root who said, I wanted to start a race war.
Yeah.
There is that thing. But the truth of the matter is, you know, we don't give a fuck about y'all. So you can keep trying to start fights, but if we just keep watching. You know, it's really tense out there. And it doesn't help that populations are declining and that water is becoming scarce. Mm-hmm. That's just going to make it harder, you know? That's what some of all this shit is about. It's sort of a last grab of the planet Earth.
Yeah.
And it's bananas because those cats feel like, hey, we sat through 40 years of affirmative action. We have to have all these safe words and give people safe spaces. And it's actually us that are suffering.
Right.
We're the ones who are unable to start families because cities are expensive and you can't buy a house and blah, 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 blah. They've engineered a society for themselves that is so difficult to get through that when they look over at a brown skinned person or a woman of color, they think, you are getting perks that I am not getting, and that's frustrating because I'm not trying to build a world for you. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to build a world for me.
Right.
And I get their frustration, and I can only say, you about to get real mad, motherfucker.
But that sort of empathy of like looking at their anger and being like, well, here's why they're feeling it, was not afforded to radical Islamic terrorists.
Right.
You know? And a lot of the dollars that are being spent trying to shut down radical Islamic terrorism. I've read tons of stories of investigative reports of people entrapping different people of the Muslim faith just because they are that, and that therefore means they're terrorists. So you have this Islamophobia in the very DNA of the organizations that we're trying to use to fight terrorism.
Right.
And so obviously, like, Islamophobic terrorists are not going to be the first people they go after, but it really needs, I mean, Miles, you wrote out just kind of your thoughts on this, and, you know, you just said, treat this as a terrorist organization, and, like, that's it. It's that simple.
It's
like, when people are talking shit in 8chan, go fucking take them down as if they were saying, I'm part of Al-Qaeda, and Yes.
I mean, look, Twitter and YouTube are real good about taking all those ISIS accounts down when they were on there, but I haven't seen shit on Twitter.
Yeah.
I haven't seen shit on YouTube, and there's still all this material that will lead someone like this to become radicalized on these platforms, but everyone is so lax about this shit. I mean, even looking at the statistics from the FBI, they're only investigating, you know, domestic terrorism, which is a blanket term. It doesn't necessarily mean all white supremacist activity, but it's one-fifth of the energy that you're putting into, you know, quote unquote, traditional terrorism.
Yeah, out of 5,000 open terrorism investigations, 900 are domestic terrorism. That's not exclusively, you know, white supremacists.
And we saw Sessions unable to answer why there wasn't people devoted to white terrorism versus the fact that they were following so many black hate groups.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's going to be a waste, because I'm going to tell you, there's like four black hate groups. Only one of them got guns.
Right, right.
No, and
but you got to go to Vermont to find them.
Yeah.
But when you look at just sort of like how, again, we've normalized Islamophobia in this country, like even from the way the media portrays people that happen to be Muslim, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's the depictions are someone, you know, scary or up to no good. I haven't. Where's my Fresh Prince of Dubai? You know what I mean? Well, maybe not Dubai, but another place. You know what I mean? Like, right. We don't have those. There aren't the same messages being reinforced like there are for other minority groups, which just allows us to even to proliferate and perpetuate like this. And even the budgets that that DHS has to combat extremism in this country is dwindling.
Yeah.
They went from 21 million in 2016 to 3 million in 2018.
Yep.
So politicians really need to take this seriously. And people, I mean, look, I don't know how else to look at it. It's the same thing, whether it's the shooting at the synagogue in Pittsburgh or Dylan Roof or these other, they're all in the same places. They have the same ideas. They're doing the same thing, but we're still being like, nah. To the point of not just resources, right? It's not a resource matter. It's a conversation that we're talking about the southern border where we're like, oh, drugs are coming through, drug traffickers are coming through, the immigrants, oh, they're criminals. And again, yeah, they said, oh, we apprehended terrorists at the border. My man, look at the statistics. The most effectively deadly group right now are right-wing extremists.
Yeah. Look, why wasn't that the moment, the shooting in the synagogue in Pittsburgh, why wasn't that the moment to confront anti-Semitism? And
I mean, I'm old.
You know why? Because I'm just to add this, conservatives want to weaponize anti-Semitism.
Right.
That's all right. It is. They only use it as a rhetorical barb. They're not interested in the effects it has on people who are of the Jewish faith that are affected by it.
In the 80s, there were 84 lynchings a year, 7 a month, right? And in the United States, we pride ourselves on being able to catch serial killers. But what you've got is a 3-state region where these murders occur, and you have people, you know where they are, you know who they are, but the FBI is not searching for these people like they're searching for serial killers.
Right. Right.
And I'm like, you got a group of serial killers known as the Ku Klux Klan that goes out, has the same MO, has the same type of victim, uses the same methodology to kill, and you guys can't catch these cats?
Right.
And that is the story of the United States. Yeah. As long as we have a fearsome force out there that makes other people think they can't mess with us because it's domestic, then we're ecstatic, and we'll allow multiple Americans to die before we ever give this idea that we couldn't come to where you are and kill you, because we're doing it right here.
Yeah.
It's right. The craziest family to live in because, you know, it's like your father's a drunk.
Right.
Everybody's getting beat and nobody wants to talk to this dude about maybe we should put a pillowcase over this dude's head at night.
Yeah, I just it really underscores, too, I think, how, you know, in New Zealand, people, it's a very peaceful country. People are like, oh, this couldn't happen here. But
and
I hope people all over the world really wake up to this. Just, you know, it's like we're the frog in the boiling water. And I'm hoping now is everybody else feeling the heat?
Yeah, you would think so.
You would think so. And you would hope so. No. Because, yeah, I mean, again, we'll see what our politicians do. But again, it's going to be one of those things. They're going to say, "Oh, well, we need to look at these people." And what are the conservatives going to do?
They're
actually
going to say, "I know he drinks too much, but he's my dad." That's exactly what
they're
going to say.
And there's a lot of hollow, you know, empty condolences being passed around too on the right. Where I'm like, oh, really? After all this weird shit you're saying that is so Islamophobic on its face, being like, "Oh, this is disgusting." You're like, you're participating in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're going to go outside the boiling pot, find a snowstorm, bring a snowball onto the floor of Congress and throw it at the other guys and be like, where's your boiling pot now?
But I just hope, you know, again, for all the energy that they want to put into framing people who are Muslim.
Right.
You know, the FBI is doing that. And again, we always want to talk about how the FBI is, you know,
at the very least entrapping. Yeah.
Yeah. That we... I mean, I haven't heard about the sting. Well, I mean, there was a sting operation where they did get some domestic terrorists that were going to bomb an apartment complex.
Right.
So they have done some work. But again, this is an issue that needs real resources put behind it, because you can't just we've fully crossed the Rubicon.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take another quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back, and this is going to be a serious episode, guys. We're just keeping it serious.
I'm gonna be so funny this next part.
There's some shit that happened last week that didn't get much run like in the mainstream media, but Trump had an interview with Breitbart where he basically said, I don't know, it's essentially him saying that his backers, he has the support of the police, the support of the military, the support of the bikers for Trump. And if the left, like, crosses him, very, very, very bad things are going to happen.
Right. So just saying, he basically said...
They're not violent people. They're nice people, but...
Yeah.
I can't control them.
Yeah. Right.
But I can when I go, they might do something really bad if it gets to a certain point, like they might get violent.
I can tell you, I have the support of the police, the support of the military, the support of the bikers for Trump. I have the tough people. But they don't play it tough until they go to a certain point, and then it would be very, very bad. Very bad.
I mean, yeah, look, that's straight up autocrat talk, baby.
Also, it already is, man. Yeah. You know, they felt like they could do anything in Charlottesville. They feel like they can do anything. You know, we have Proud Boys in New York City. We have Proud Boys in Los Feliz.
Right.
Atwater. They can do anything they want to do, and it should shock the shit out of people. But it ain't going to shock the shit out of people because it's they team. America keeps tripping and lying about we don't like this behavior. But boy, oh boy, are we still going to celebrate the 4th of July this year.
The most shocking video that I saw from Charlottesville was the dude firing his gun into a crowd of people. Yeah. And there's like 5 white cops just standing back looking at him. And he was on the side of, you know. The
good people.
The
very fine people on
white
the
supremacists,
right.
But there were some fine people in the group.
Yeah, like what the fuck? I mean, yeah, even just then, not that that's when we crossed the Rubicon, but like that was a huge moment in the administration when he said, boom, stamped it, seal of approval.
But we have a show coming up, dropping in a couple weeks from Robert Evans that talks about the possibility of an American Civil War that has these just wild quotes from people on the right just being like, if they try to impeach Trump, the streets will run red with their blood. And that's like Alex Jones. Like, they're just saying it openly. It's not like some small, like, sleeper cell. That is a public figure on their side saying that, like, shouting it, because that's the only way he communicates. But
he's an artist.
Yeah.
And, so
right. He's just a performance artist. And then you have Michael Cohen, like a couple in his testimony said, given my experience working for Mr. Trump, I fear that if he loses the election in 2020, that there will never be a peaceful transition of power. And like that, I've felt that way for a long time now. And the fact that somebody who knows him better than I do feels the same way is not reassuring.
Yeah, Cohen's trying to be in jail for when that shit goes
wrong. Exactly.
It's like, bro,
get your ass arrested.
Guard, get me back in.
But I don't think we're getting him out of there without an arrest or a body bag. Like, I don't think he's
even
going
if we
peacefully.
Even if we get dude out of there, what are we going to do with each other, man?
Right.
The damage is done.
The damage is done. But, you know, the truth is, like, we're back to grassroots again. You got to look over at each other and check in with each other. Because the reason that, just like pre-Hitler, the reason that we're all fucked up is because we're not leaning on each other like we used to. Like, there is a time and a place every 20, 30 years where we have to be Americans and check on the next door neighbor.
Right.
Check on the school system and make sure that it's still being funded. Check on roads. Make sure that our politicians aren't dirty. And we may have missed that. But but we're all sort of waking up to this idea that there needs to be some extreme activism if that's what you want. If you want a country where we're not living under some sort of government rule, you need to start voting.
Right.
That's why the real platform sort of needs to be gerrymandering, because it's one of the only ways we'll stop them. The liberals have always outnumbered conservatives. So it's not over yet. It just, we need to show up and step up, because that's what the Republicans are doing. They're showing up. They're raising money. They're trying to get legislation passed. It's time for us to stop. Maybe, you know, stop riding your Linus. Maybe get off your get out of your air wands. Everybody, don't petition for a new Whole Foods.
Right.
See if you can get a school built. It's like that. And then I promise you, we can go right back to Golden Girls and watching NBC on Sunday and sleeping through our elections. But right now, we got to mobilize.
Yeah, well, and I think also, too, back to the domestic terrorist issue, is that we don't even look at our neighbors as neighbors. Like, that guy Caesar Sayoc, who was sending all those bombs, people saw his van going all around town and was like, that's just some shit.
The guy in the MAGA van.
Yeah, in the MAGA van. They're like, oh, that's just MAGA van guy. It's like, no, hold on. MAGA van guy is sending bombs.
Right.
Or attempted, you know, explosive devices.
MAGA guy is homeless. Can somebody reach out to this dude? Because if a person is not happy, they are weaponized is where
we're
at.
Yeah, right.
So we need to do a little cleanup.
Well, yeah, I mean, exactly. The disenfranchised are your seeds of revolution in one direction or another.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Let's talk about Mike Pence.
A light topic.
Yeah.
It's just funny to watch this dude's face. Like, he was not meant to be a public figure, I don't think.
No, he was meant to be a shock jock who had weird takes on Mulan.
Right.
When
he was like, Mulan
is confusing women.
That's what he was.
It's teaching women to act like a man, and, you know, I can't have that, because one...
We've already seen him in the background of that Trump press conference between Trump and Nancy
and
Chuck
Schumer, and he tried to astrally project himself out of that room.
Yeah, he tried to astrally project himself, as Miles said. He just closed his eyes and just wished he wasn't there, like a child whose parents were fighting. And now we have another great shot of him just not knowing what to do with his face.
Yo, he was just in that thing like, dear God, please make me a bird
so I can fly far away
from here. Basically what he was saying to himself. Well, anyway, so this time around, he received the Prime Minister of Ireland, Leo Varadkar.
My people.
Who is, you know, an openly gay leader of a country.
Yo.
And, you know, like, he's invited to have an audience with the vice president. He brought his partner with him, obviously, to pull up on Mike Pence and be like, yeah, well, let me just to let you know, the world is still moving.
Why would he need to pull up on Mike Pence?
Oh, because, you know, he's just so violently anti-gay.
Right.
Also, in the Washington Post, they kind of papered over how just sort of explicitly homophobic Mike Pence is.
Yeah.
They described him when they were describing this scene of them meeting and him coming to, what is it, the Naval Observatory? That's where the vice president lives.
Yeah.
They said, you know, Varadkar is one of only a handful of openly gay world leaders. Pence, on the other hand, is a socially conservative Christian who has long been criticized by LGBTQ advocates for pursuing policies that they say hurt the gay community while he was governor of Indiana. Okay, that's fine. You know, the mainstream media has already shown their ass many times. So, cut to some comments that Leo Varadkar made with Mike Pence right there. Karen Pence's mother was not there because she was probably out there somewhere.
Wait, is he allowed to be in a room with gay men
without mother?
That's a
question. I don't know the rules. I don't know what the fine print is on that, but it must have been.
I mean, there's no way he trusts himself in that room, but
worse.
Yeah.
I do hope that he in the rare case that a person is scared because they've never been in contact with.
Right.
It would be incredible because Dick Cheney did the same thing where right. Dick Cheney had said some things earlier in his career as a politician, but then having a daughter who was gay sort of changed him on that, I think.
Yeah.
At least he said out loud things that were not as homophobic as they used to be.
Right. Yeah. Let's hope that Mike Pence, if he was truly a Christian, his mm-hmm. heart was opened by coming into contact with these individuals, because I'd hate it if I, as a person who is religious, had to cast judgment on Mike Pence for not having an open heart. See how that works?
Right. Well,
yeah, that would be difficult.
Depends on what version of the Bible you're reading.
Right.
You know what I mean? Anyway,
the versions of the Bible I read say that a person's heart should be open.
There you go.
Hmm.
Well, so Leo Varadkar gave some really nice comments with Mike Pence standing right there, and he was just basically speaking truth to power.
But I also knew at the time that I lived in a country where if I tried to be myself at the time, it would have ended up breaking laws. But today, that has all changed. I stand here, leader of my country, flawed and human, but judged by my political actions and not by my sexual orientation, my skin tone, gender, or religious beliefs. And I don't believe that my country is the only one in the world where this story is possible.
Tell him.
It's found in every country where freedom and liberty are cherished. We are, after all God's children.
He looked right at him.
And that's true of the United States as well.
Oh.
The land and home of the brave and the free, where the promise of America inspires boys and girls all over the world to dream big dreams and inspires others around the world to do the same.
Boom.
Yeah, my favorite thing in the world is to use my faith in God against homophobes.
Right.
Because it's a ridiculous thing. There's no way that you can say that you believe in God and hate.
Yeah.
Or pass judgment.
Doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, and you're not really supposed to talk that much about it. It even says in the Bible, like, you're not trying to bring people over. You're not trying to convert. Now, people in the Bible will sometimes fight you on that piece of information. They'll say, oh, but you're supposed to bring people to the way of the Lord, blah, blah, blah. But it's very specific, and it says you're not. You're not supposed to really go around, like, trying to drag people along because they'll find their way or they won't.
Right.
And in that situation, I loved hearing him reference we're all children of God at a person who brags about being one of the best children of God.
Yeah, no, for real.
He's so good at it.
Yeah, and Mike Pence, again, he looked a little bit uncomfortable. Mm. He just had this sort of, you know, fake grin on where he's like, I don't have a negative looking face on.
Yeah.
And I don't look like I'm totally agreeing. But I look like
somebody
who's
trying
pleasant.
To hold their shit together while they realize they've just experiencing the first symptoms of food poisoning is kind of the vibe you get from his face.
Yeah, he had bubble guts.
Bubble guts. Like he's holding his mouth closed really hard, but his eyes betray that he's not feeling
so. Shout out to Leo.
Super comfortable. Shout out to Leo.
Shout out to Ireland.
Yeah, yeah.
Who
yeah.
technically, I think, beat us to the punch on legalizing gay marriage, too.
I think, barely.
Yeah.
Well, Brandon, it's been such a pleasure, as
My
always,
gosh.
Having you.
So tense, but you know what? I dressed up because we had some difficult subjects today.
Yeah. You did it. Where can people find you?
Again, I'm trying to sell these suits. I got these puppies, these pets, all these different types of animals you can buy. Holla at your boy. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me in the Reddit back channels. You know my name. It's I likes it in the soapy parts. .com.
Soapy parts.
You know where the lather forms.
Miles, where can people find you?
Find me and follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray.
And what is a tweet you've been enjoying?
Oh, this is from Amy Miller. Just an update, you know, because Lori Loughlin from Fuller House, Aunt Becky, you know, she's caught up in that shit. Amy Miller quote tweeted a tweet from the Hollywood Reporter that said Lori Loughlin loses Hallmark Channel roles after college cheating scandal indictment, and she says so 100% of her work.
Oh shit!
Shade. And also one more from at Dan White said, just got let go from my position as memory card specialist at GameStop. I want to be mad, but our corporate HR rep sat me down and very respectfully thanked me for my contributions to the company and explained that my position became obsolete roughly 11 years ago. So shout out to people. Man, I used to have a memory card case with like different memory cards, like my game. Oh man.
Wow.
Then they idiots decided to put hard drives in the consoles.
You and the guy who had the 300 CD player unit in his house.
Oh, I had the 50 plus one.
By the way, somebody caught that I said the other day on the show that it wasn't even that long ago. It was like 2010. Someone was like, my guy, that's 9 years ago. I am old as fuck. Speaking of old as fuck, Soren Bowie. No.
Oh,
sorry, Soren.
Shit.
That has nothing to do with anything. At Soren Limited LTD tweeted, "Man, poor PewDiePie. Could you even imagine being associated with an atrocity like this just because some violent extremist misinterpreted your belief? Could all the Muslims please stop raising their hands at once?"
I'm telling you.
Yeah. You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist. On Instagram, we have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what's that going to be?
I just was thinking, you know, it's 1999, 20 years have passed. Man. It's not 1999, it's 2019, and 20 years have passed since 1999. And it got me thinking about one of my favorite albums, Mos Def's Black on Both Sides.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, there's so many good songs. My favorite track actually on that is May December at the very end, which is actually just an instrumental, but a great one. But I do want to just play the song, let's say Rock and Roll, because it's a history lesson and a song all together. So this is Rock and Roll by Mos Def.
All right, we're going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. We'll talk to you guys then. Bye.
My grandmama was raised on a reservation. My great-grandmama was from a plantation. They sang songs for inspiration. They sang songs for relaxation. They sang songs to take their minds up off that fucked up situation. I am, yes I am, the descendant of those folks whose backs got broke, ooh.
Zeit gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get, but with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. Celebrating Pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.